Amen. And redeemed by the mercy of God. As always, a special time a year for me. It's March of 1976 when I walked into an Independent Baptist church for the first time and heard about the mercy of God and the goodness of God and what a difference it's made. And I thank God for it. Let's thank God for what he's done in our lives. Second Peter chapter 1 for our message this morning. If you're physically able to stand with me, follow along as I read several verses here. It's very, very special to me, and I hope very special to everyone in here who has experienced redemption by the mercy of God, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and what a difference it's made in our lives. 2 Peter chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Our Father, we thank you so much today for your goodness. Thank you for the mercy that allowed you to shed your blood on an old rugged cross that we could be redeemed and have an opportunity to be able to serve you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for all that you've done in our lives. I pray that you might meet with us in a very special way. Take us back and help us to look at what it means to be saved and what it means to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you take me as your servant. I pray that you would give me strength. Then I pray that you'd cleanse me of any sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. Save anyone who may be lost here today. And then I pray you'll stir and change every Christian here today. We'll be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory that's due your holy name. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. When I got saved on July 22nd, 1976, I immediately had a lot of questions. I was 30 years of age, And I felt as if I had wasted many years of my life. Things immediately that Thursday night about 9:45 began to change. My desires changed. My language changed. As a matter of fact, God took some of the garbage out of my life from that night to this day, some almost 47 years ago. I've never uttered a cuss word since then when I used to spit them out over and over. I've never had a taste of any kind of alcohol since that night that God saved my soul. My language changed. My thoughts changed. My habits changed. You see, something happened in my life. I wanted my wife and my son Michael to see in my life that this thing called Christianity was real. One of the concerns I had right away was this. If you live 30 years for the devil, you do a lot of things that you're not proud of, a lot of things that you don't want to remember. You do a lot of things that you don't ever want to do again. And every time I learned something new as a Christian, I did everything that I could to make sure that I would do that because I wanted something different. I grew up in Tallahassee, Florida. I grew up back in the day when we used to have revival meetings in the summertime. And I remember as a young fella growing up to my teenage years that during the summertime, we go to school. And then during revival time, you stop doing all the things that you thought were bad. If you were old enough to be dating, you stop dating your girlfriend. You put all the bad things aside because this was revival time. And during revival time, you were seeking to get what they call religion. And I remember a number of years doing that and setting aside and praying. And at night we'd have revival meetings and we would sit on a mourner's bench and we would be praying to get religion. And I wanted it very bad in my life, but it never happened. One thing always puzzled me, that I would see friends and other people that would actually stop doing all of these so-called bad things during revival meeting, and some of them would get their religion. And then they'd stop doing these things until they got baptized. And I never understood why they would go back doing the same things. As a matter of fact, I didn't understand a lot of things about religion, about salvation, about knowing God, but I certainly wanted to. As a matter of fact, the greatest example I knew at that time of someone who got religion was my sister Dodd. We were in the same class together. I remember as an eight-year-old, she came running in the house one day and said, I got religion. I didn't understand all of that, but one thing I did notice about Dodd, from an eight-year-old all through our teenage years, she changed. There was something different about her. And I wanted to see something real in my life. So when I got saved, July 22nd, 1976, I had all of these doubts. Can I really keep this thing going? Can I do away with all the bad things? And I got concerned about it. I went to my pastor and I asked him, the devil is real, right? Yes, he is. Is it possible? Can this happen? Someone wanting to do right and not go back to the old life. Could the devil force me to go back to the old life? And I remember him giving me this passage here in this particular verse, if you'll notice in verse number 10. Wherefore? The wherefore is there because of the first nine verses there that we're going to look at in a few moments. Wherefore, it says, the rather, brethren, speaking of those who have experienced the mercy of God, brethren, so he's talking to saved people, people who hadn't just got religion, but people who've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Brethren, so if you're here today and you're saved, then I'm talking to you and telling you what God the Holy Spirit said through Peter that he shared. Brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now notice this last phrase. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. That verse has meant a lot to me over the years. I know that if I'm redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, I can never lose my salvation. So it's not talking about losing your salvation, but it's talking about someone who has gained this salvation. It is possible that you can do some things in your life that you will never fall into sin or never fall in a way that will disgrace you, take you back to your old habit, have you doing some things for which Jesus died on the cross. That meant a lot to me. Ye shall never fall. And Peter was writing to these Christians who were facing all kinds of persecution, all kinds of difficult things in their life. And they must have come to the point that said, can we keep it going? Can we stay away from these things? And Peter said, let me tell you something. What God did for you, it made it possible that you can live in a wicked world and never revert back to a habit or life or something that's going to disgrace you, because God did a good thing when he saved our ungodly souls. So I want to speak for a few moments today on how not to fall. What is that thing that gripped your life so much before you got saved? What is that thing that tempts you every day? What is that thing that you fight every day? What is that fight that you have with the devil every day? God says, it is possible to never fall. Give in to it. Let it destroy you. Let it defeat you. I don't know about you, but that does something for me. That does something for me. Now, what is it? How can I, as a Christian today, who battles every day of my life, I've got to fight Satan. I've got to fight sin. I've got to fight self. But God says, if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Now, Peter, what are you telling these Christians? What are you telling us today? He said, I'm telling you something that God did when he saved your soul that will keep you from falling. In the first four verses, he reminds them of something we need to realize today. When God saved you, when God saved me, he put us in a high position. Not a position just for preachers or deacons or special Christians. Every born again sinner who's saved by the grace of God, experienced the mercy of God, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, is raised up in a high position. Now let's look at that position. Let's look at what you have and I have who saved today. He says in verse number 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. He said, you know what? When I saved you, I gave you a precious faith. You know what I'm saying? I gave you a faith that in no way deficient in any area. I mean, can you imagine? A precious faith. You know, we hear a lot preached around here about faith. And faith is something we ought to have. As a matter of fact, I have in my bathroom that at my age I tend to use a lot. Just kind of ignore that. But over the commode in that bathroom, there's a sign that says, faith is not believing that God can, it is knowing that God will. You know what I'm saying? Hey, my child, when I saved you, I gave you that kind of faith. He goes on to say in verse number 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life. Look at these two words, life and godliness. He said, when I save you, I put you in this high position that not only do you have a precious faith, but you've got the power of God. What is this power? He says, first of all, it's the power unto life. That life means eternal life. He's saying, when I save you, I gave you an eternal life. You'll never perish. You don't have to walk around this world with all that comes your way worried about your soul. You have eternal life in this position. But he says, not only do you have the power of life, he says, and godliness. I not only have eternal life, but I have this earthly life where it is possible that I can live a holy life, not given to sin and destruction in this life. God says, that's the power I provided for my child in this high position. Not only do I have a precious faith, he says, and I have the power of God. Verse 4 says, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. In this position, you not only have a precious faith and the power of God, but we've got the promises of God. It said there's some 30,000 promises in the Bible. For the child that is promised, you shall never fail. Here's some of the promises that are found in the Bible. I have freedom from sin's dominion in Romans 6:14. Grace that is sufficient in 2 Corinthians 12:9. I have the power to obey his commands in Philippians 4:13. I have victory over the devil in James 4:7. I can escape from temptation in 1 Corinthians 10:13. I have forgiveness when we confess our sins in 1 John 1:9. And if that's not enough, I'm told in Jeremiah 31:34, he forgets my sins. I have, according to Psalms 50:15, I have response from him when I call. I think that's a little bit of help in the promises of God that I shall not fall. I have the precious faith, the promises of God. Then the Bible says, I have the power of God, and I am in partnership of a divine nature. When I got saved, I got a new nature to help me battle this old nature. When I look at that, I'm reminded of something. God knew what he was doing when he came up with salvation for us. Let me also say this. God knew what he was doing when he saved this 30-year-old sinner. God knew what he was doing
when he saved you.
He said, I'm going to take you out of the miry clay and I'm going to put you in a high position. You know what he's saying? I'm going to give you a good start. I'm going to take you and give you a good start. And I'm going to give you the same start I give every sinner that I save. I'm going to put you up in a high position. Now the question is, God says, I'm starting you off pretty good. What are you going to do with it? You've got a choice in life. Take the high position I've given you and advance, or do absolutely nothing and decline. Or you're going to heaven, but you got to live down here on this earth. And I'm going to tell you something. Though I started you off in a high position, you got to do something with what I gave you. So the second part is, I start you off in a high position, but in order for you not to fall, you have got to show some human progression. Let's go down to verse number 5. He says, and beside this, and beside this, beside what I've done for you, that precious faith, the power of God, to be in partnership with God, to have a divine nature, I mean the promises of God. Beside this, brethren, I need to see some human progression. What should I do? Well, I'll tell you, he said. And beside this, giving all diligence. I need some diligent effort from you. Are you listening to me? I need you to do something with what I gave you. I need you to understand where you started off is all of me, God says. But you're a human being living down here on this earth. And I need some human progression out of you, which requires a diligent effort on your part. Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, he said, add to your faith. Now keep in mind, he's talking to brethren. He's talking to those who had enough faith to be saved. He's talking about those who's going to exercise this faith. He says, I want you to add to what I gave you that had nothing to do with you. And I want you to put forth this diligent effort. And he gives 7 virtues that every Christian walking with God, studying the Bible and praying and seeking the leading of the Holy Spirit need to add to this high position he's given us. And let's very quickly go through them. He says, add to your faith virtue. Virtue has to do with vigor and energy. It's moral, spiritual courage. I need you to add that to that. And then he says, and add to virtue knowledge. I want you to gain some understanding, some insight, some moral discernment. I want you to have the knowledge of what is spiritual in your life, not in the world. Add to that knowledge, he says, temperance. You're going to have to learn how to have some self-control and discipline in your life. By the way, it takes discipline to pray every day. It takes discipline to read your Bible. It takes discipline to witness. He says you need to do that. Add to that temperance, patience. You're going to learn how to endure some things in this life, not just to do things when everything is right. In the tough times, you're going to have to learn how to do this. After all, I want you to get to the point where you never fall. Then he says, add to that godliness. Godliness is a devoted life of worship. I'm to live with Christ in mind every day of my life. Add to you godliness, brotherly kindness. You're going to have to learn how to love your brethren, whether you like them or not. You're going to have to learn. You're going to have to learn how to love people in your church. You have to learn how to love people who offend you, brothers and sisters of the Lord. You're going to have to learn them. After all, I don't want you to ever fall. And add to that brotherly kindness, love. You're going to have a love for the souls of mankind. God says, don't you understand the high position I've given you? Don't you think to start off like that is worth it to you to have some human progression? I've laid out these virtues. They're available to you. Add them to your life. Put forth some diligent effort. Now, if I put forth the diligent effort to be able to add these things to me, I'm going to have a delightful experience. Diligent effort in the things of God always brings about a delightful experience. He says, verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound. He says, two things are going to happen. First of all, he says, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this knowledge, it's important. It is possible to have knowledge of things and be idle into performing them. One of the things about us good old independent Baptists that we're guilty of, we're very guilty of knowing and not doing. But God says if you add these things, if you put forth this diligent effort, you're not going to be idle. You're not going to be barren in the knowledge of the Lord. As a matter of fact, you're going to be productive and you're going to learn to perform that which you know. Would to God that we could come to a point in our life if we just did what we know, we'd be a lot better Christian than we are today. So he says, if you put forth the diligent effort to add these virtues to your life, you will have a delightful experience. You won't be idle. You won't be barren in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, that sounds pretty good. Sounds like if I do this, I'm on my way to not falling. But let's go back to verse number 9. Look out. Here comes a but. Here comes the but. But he that liketh these things is blind. Now, here's the thing that you got to learn about the Christian life. Salvation is all of God. I'm going to heaven, whether I'm a great Christian or not. Going to heaven depends on being a Christian. But I got to make sure that I maximize what I do down here on the earth. So he tells me if I put forth this diligent effort, I'm not going to be idle. I'm not going to be barren. But he says, but if I don't do that, I'm going to face a horrible problem that many Christians are facing today. Look at verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind. A Christian who doesn't advance in his Christian life, even though he got a good start from God, is going to decline. And when you start declining, here's the horrible thing that we're going to face in life. Two things. He says, number one, I'm going to have a sight problem. I'm not going to see very well. He says, is blind. The word blind, he is referring to this. Lack of discernment, awareness, not aware of what is central to life. He lacks discernment of spiritual value. But I got a precious faith. I got the promises of God, the power of God. I have a divine nature. But if I don't advance, I'm going to decline. And I'm going to face what many Christian people face today. I become blind. I, I, don't see very well. I don't see the value of spiritual things. I find myself questioning whether this is better or this worldly thing better. It's not that I want to do that. After all, I'm one of those Christians put in this high position, but I didn't advance. And then all of a sudden, this same Christian has a sight problem. I don't value spiritual things more than I value worldly things. I justify things that I used to condemn in my early Christian life. These things are now okay when I used to despise them. Not that I'm a bad person. I just got a sight problem. I don't see it. Some of the most sincere Christian people today are blind. They don't see the value of spiritual things. And the sad thing about it is, we got Christians today who used to see those things as valuable, but don't see them anymore. They become blind because they didn't advance in the Christian life. When I advance, I have strength and security. When I don't, there's always danger and failure. So I got a sight problem, but even more, that same verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Now notice this. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. When I don't advance, even though I had a good start, and even though God put me in a high position, gave me a precious faith, the power of God, the promises of God, I'm in partnership with God. I'm a partaker of a divine nature. But I didn't put forth enough diligent effort to advance. And now I'm facing a sad, horrible, horrible problem. My sight's bad. And then I have a sad perception. Notice she said, hath forgotten, verse 9, that he was purged from his whole sin. You were saying, I've forgotten the truth of redemption. It's lost a grip on me. I'm going back in the direction from which I was rescued. I'm toying around with sin that I used to play around with that sent Jesus to the cross. I've forgotten the value of redemption. I've forgotten what the blood means. I've forgotten the price that Jesus paid. And I've got a sad perception. I don't see things like I used to see. I'm not moved by the cross. The blood are just words that I repeat. And you can see it in the life that I live. Oh, my perception is so sad. Doesn't have the meaning that it used to have because I didn't add to. I didn't add to. I just took for granted God saved my soul and everything's okay. Yeah, he gave you a good start, but it's up to us to have some human progression, take advantage of this high position. If I don't, I'm going to face this horrible problem of bad sight. I got a sight problem. And my perception is bad. It's not very clear. And that's sad. But on the other hand, let's look at the person who advances in the Christian life. We start out by saying God put us in a high position. He requires a human progression. If I don't, I'm going to face a horrible problem. But if I do, thank God, there's a heartfelt promise. Look at verse 10. Wherefore? Now he's talking about those who added to. Those who put forth that diligent effort. Here's a heartfelt promise. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. To make your calling and election sure. He gives me a reassurance here of who I am, who I belong to, and what God did when he saved my soul. Now, we cannot make our calling and election more sure than they already are. God's eternal purposes can never be changed. But here's what I can do. But we can confirm them by growing in the likeness of our Lord. A holy life provides me a way to keep from stumbling. In other words, the more I live for God, the more I add to, the more holy I become, the more I serve the Lord, the more I show who I belong to. And that reassures me that I'm his child. And no devil, no self, no sin can ever cause me to fall. So I have this reassurance. But not only do I have that, but verse 11 tells me I'm going to be rewarded. He said in verse 11, for so our entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into an everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now the entrance here into heaven, one of the things that we need to understand, he's not referring to the fact that we're going to enter heaven. If you're saved today, you're going to enter heaven. Every saved person is guaranteed heaven. So he's not talking about the fact of going to heaven, but he is talking about the manner in which I go. In other words, the Bible makes very clear there's some degrees in heaven based on how I lived here on earth. And he tells us in his word, it's the manner in which I go to heaven that's going to make a difference in Almighty God. In other words, I'm going to find out that there's some degrees in heaven in which I'm rewarded that based on how much I added, what I do, how I lived here on earth. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you're just satisfied with getting in the door. But real Christians want to be able to earn some crowns that one day they're going to be able to cast at Jesus' feet. That's the only thing we could ever give back to him is what I earned out here on earth, to be able to cast my crowns at my Savior's feet. And Peter says, it's a fact. You're saved. You're going to heaven. But if you didn't diligently add to what God gave you when he started you, it may be that when you enter heaven, you're not going to be rewarded the way you could have based on how you lived here on the earth. So he says, there's a heartfelt promise. And he says here in verse number 10, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. And then he finishes up, sums up what he said here in these first 12 verses with verse number 12. Here's another wherefore. Verse 10 was the wherefore. That's if you added those things. Now he's saying to those people, wherefore in verse 12, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Now notice this phrase. though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. I'm going to give you a reassurance. You live for God, that tells who you belong to. I'm going to remind you of the rewards you're going to get when you enter into heaven. But then I want to give you a reminder. You probably know this because you've been saved for a while. You probably know everything that I've said today. And Peter says to those he was writing to, you probably know these things. But I'm going to remind you and remind you, though you know these things, it's high time we put these things in the practice. I don't know about you, but it's sad in the day in which we live to see so many born again, professing children of God who have come to the point where the sight is not clear. The things they used to condemn, they now accept. You could argue backwards and forward, and they'll tell you over and over, I know I'm a Christian. I know that Jesus is my Savior. I know that I'm going to heaven. I just don't want to live like this here on earth. I don't know if it's a good idea to really let people know just how Christian I am. Well, we can't blame it that when God saved one person and saved another person, he gave this person a better chance than this person. We all who profess to know him today had a good start. Every single one of us starts out in this high position. Precious faith, the power of God, eternal life is his. Live godly. He gave me the power, the same power to live here on earth. I have a Bible full of promises. And I'm partakers of a divine nature. I just need to put forth some human progression. I need to put forth a diligent effort to think that this salvation is so good, it's okay to add some spiritual things to it. And I need to be careful. If I don't, I'm going to face a horrible problem. I'm going to have a sight problem. I'm not going to be able to see clearly anymore. I'm surrounded all around. It's getting worse of all the time. Wickedness and ungodliness. But I can't see it. As a matter of fact, I've got a sad perception. I have somehow forgotten what it took to save my ungodly soul. And I don't value the blood that I sing about. I don't value the cross that I sing about. I don't value the things that I read anymore. But if I add to these things, the promise is, ye shall never fall. And you know what? The world's going to know I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to that day I enter in heaven and hear, well done, that good and faithful servant. And I thank God every day that I'm reminded over and over that just having knowledge is not enough. I need to practice what I know. And may God help me to live my Christian life in such a way that I can claim what it says in here. If you do these things, ye shall never, never fall. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. I want to ask a couple questions, and then we'll be dismissed. How many men, women, and young people in here today will say, "Preacher, I know for sure that those first four verses you read about that high position, when God saved me, that's where he put me. Because to have those, all I need to do is be saved." And without a doubt, I know that. If you know that, would you slip your hands real high? That's been settled. I know that I'm saved. You may put them down. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you progressing? How many say, "Preacher, you know what? I need to add some things to what God gave me. And I can tell by my life I hadn't added them the way I should because I've got a little bit of a sight problem. My perceptions are not the way they used to be. And God's reminded me of that. I want to get back to where I have that heartfelt promise that ye shall never fall. I don't want to fall back into a bad habit. I don't want my life to be the way it used to before God saved me. I need to get some diligent effort to add some things in my Christian life." And I want to be honest with you and honest with God this morning. In some area, he's spoken to my life. And I want you to pray for me in your closing prayer that I would put forth a diligent effort to add virtues to my life that will help me to show a world that Jesus is truly my Lord. If that's your prayer this morning, would you slip your hands up for just a moment? God's spoken to my heart. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Now listen to me very carefully. 2 Peter chapter 1 is speaking to Christian people. He said, "Brethren, in order to get in that high position, you've got to be saved. You got to know without a doubt that what Pascal sang about the blood of Jesus Christ, the redemption. You got to know that you've put your faith and trust in him and he's forgiven you of your sins and put you in this high position. I wonder if there'd be a man, woman, boy, or girl here today to say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not 100% sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. But I am sure I don't want to go to hell." If that's you, would you slip your hand up for just a moment? Man, woman, boy, or girl. No one looking around. Let's bow our heads in just a moment. Thank you. Look, for you had just raised your hand. God loves you. You've been the only sinner in the whole wide world. He would have died the same death, suffered the same way, shed the same blood because he loved you. And I hope you'll let someone take a Bible this morning and show you how to settle it once and for all. We'll be glad to have someone do that. What a difference it made. Christian, we got to add some things. Salvation, heaven is guaranteed, but the manner in which we enter is based on how we live this earthly life. I just think he's worth the diligent effort. That meant something to me when I got saved almost 47 years ago. Haven't been perfect, but oh, I sure want to live for him. I don't ever want one of those habits to creep back into life. I don't ever want to have a sad perception of things. I don't want to be blind that I can't see what is right any longer. You ought to take a moment, and wherever God spoke to your heart, forget about anybody else and let God take you back to when he put you in that position. And you asked him, Do you see as clear as you used to? Ask him, have you gone backwards instead of advancing? And tell him. We'll take a moment for you to do that. And you talk to the Lord. You and him. He made you some promises. He says he'll respond in Psalm 50 verse 15 if you call on him. You asked him to make a difference. Hey, let me tell you something. The world's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. But God knew what he was doing when he saved you and he saved me. And he wants us to advance. He wants to see some human progression. He doesn't want us to go through this horrible problem. He wants to have a heartfelt promise that we shall never fall. Father, I want to personally thank you for what this passage has meant to me these 46 plus years. I want to thank you that you knew what you were doing when you saved our souls. And I pray that you look around this auditorium, not some other place, and you look at every heart individually, and you do in every heart that which only you can do. You provided grace and mercy. It's always in that passage. Pour it out where it's needed. Grace and mercy. And I pray in these latter days in which we live that we would become concerned about that entrance someday into glory. If we're saved, we know we're going there. But help it to be a triumphant entry because of the diligent effort we put forth here on earth. We love you today. We'd ask that you would continue to bless in a special way. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you for listening. I trust that